Hello everyone, we are excited to bring you our first history segment today. But before we do that, we have a few things we'd like to talk about. Many of you may have noticed we have the Binet USA logo on our website now. And that is because we are now a project officially sponsored by Binet USA. And because of that, we need to talk about some legal disclaimers. So here we go. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew. And because June is such an event-packed month for us because of Pride, I have a few items to bring up about that. Larry Nielsen has posted that tomorrow on June 1st, the Queen's Pride March in Jackson Heights begins. They hope to see everyone there. They still need help carrying the banner for the New York Area Bisexual Network and also for PFLAG. You can contact them with the emails that we will be providing on the website. RSVP is not mandatory, but it is helpful. Lineup starts at 11 a.m. on 37th Avenue between 85th and 86th Streets and kicks off at 12 noon. Also, a reminder, the Because Conference starts in Minnesota on the 6th. This is going to be jam-packed with some wonderful favorite activists of ours. Lots of workshops, really great stuff. I encourage you to attend that. And it's still not too late to volunteer for that. That link will also be on the website. A really exciting thing that opened up this week is in San Francisco at the GLBT Historic Museum, Biconic Flashpoints, 40 Years of Bisexual Activism in the San Francisco area opened. We want to thank them for that. I cannot wait to get down to see that. We want to thank all of them for putting this great exhibit together. We saw some early photos of it, and it looks like it's going to be quite wonderful. I cannot wait to get down to see that. It opened on May 29th. I encourage you all to go visit that, too. You can check out the information for it on the Binet USA site under the blog. Thank you. Also, Center By is starting up their Pride events. They are having an event with A. Billy Jones Heinen and Lauren Hutchins, who will be sharing their experiences organizing both the bisexual and larger LGBT movements. And that will be on June 3rd. They are also marching in the Center By Parade, and that should be very awesome. Lots of things going on with that. The parade starts at 4:30, and they will be meeting up at 3:45 on June 7th. This item is just in from one of our listeners. Cincinnati Pride has had a long history of having a wonderful Pride Week. Very popular, very well done. However, there seems to be a group now called Citizens for Community Value, headed by Bill Burris, who is calling for the sponsors of the event, such as Kruger and Procter & Gamble, to pull their sponsorship and for all his contingents to ban the event because it is a lewd act, according to him. And by that he means the activity has something to do with homosexuals. There is no basis for any kind of lewdness ever happening in that event. So I encourage all of you to contact your local congressman, contact Kruger and Procter & Gamble, and your local TV stations and newspapers, and voice your opinion how you would think this is probably not a very good idea. We have to fight the ignorance where we find it, whether it's on a local or national level. I want to thank you for that. And finally, we want to give a big round of applause and thanks to Sarah Prager, Faith Chillingham, and Tara Avery for their hard work on helping to get the Google ban on the word bisexual taken off the restricted list. So now we can actually go and find our support groups, our organizations, and our events quite easily. This is very important for people who have no idea what they're looking for and who need help. And it's also a big, giant step in fighting the war on bi erasure. So again, we give you giant kudos and thank you for your tireless work. That about covers what's happening for now. We hope to be bringing all the events that are happening this month to you as they come along to us. And now with that, we'd like to present to you our Bi History 101 on Brenda Howard. Thank you.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for, by, and about our community, the bisexual community. June is Pride Month, And we thought no better way to start off our history segment would be talking about Brenda Howard. We would like to welcome Eileen Leary. She is our new bi historian. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. When I first heard the bi-cast looking for a bi historian, I jumped at the chance to volunteer. Bi history is really important to me, not just as a bisexual woman, but as a historian. A lot of people sort of see the bi community as being, in a way, fairly rootless, or that we're like trendy and that we're going to like abandon our identities and move away from it. But historically, there have been so many amazing, creative, bisexual people. And it's really important to highlight that. So I'm really excited that you guys have invited me to do a history segment. One of the reasons bi history is important to me personally is that I didn't actually, despite being a classical scholar, I didn't recognize Sappho as being a bisexual woman until just recently, until just a few months ago. And that's ridiculous to me, that as someone who has studied classics and as someone who is bisexual, that I would completely ignore this really important figure in our history. So I'm really happy to be here, and I'm really glad that we're focusing on Brenda Howard.
I agree with you. I have only been out mainly to myself for just under a year, and I had no idea that there was a history. And I think that this is important to people to understand. We do have history and culture. We do have a community. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So let's hear about Brenda Howard a little bit.
Brenda Howard is actually the perfect person to focus on for Pride Month. Brenda Howard, a bisexual woman, is the mother of Pride. She was there at Stonewall, and she was the major force behind organizing the first Pride March, the Christopher Street Liberation Day Parade, which was on the anniversary of Stonewall. She didn't stop there, though. She continued her activism until her death in 2005, and she's a really pivotal figure in LGBT activism in general and bi community specifically.
Thank you. So Stonewall really was the pivoting point for starting the Pride Parade. Can you tell us a little bit about that history?
Sure. Stonewall, most of us will probably know a little bit about Stonewall. It's sort of taken on an almost mythic place in the history of our activism. So the Stonewall riots, for listeners who might not know, took place June 28, 1969, in the early morning hours. The police started a fairly unexpected and violent raid on the Stonewall Inn in the Greenwich Village neighborhood. The authorities, or the owners rather, were not tipped off, which they usually would have been. And because it was unexpected, and because it was much later than a raid would normally take place, and because of police actions like harassing the drag queens and trans women that were there, sexually harassing the lesbians that were there, and making the gay men that were there show their IDs, it quickly turned from a typical raid into a riot. That was really the first action, you know, the first activist action by the gay community as a whole, or should I say the LGBT community as a whole, because it wasn't just cisgender gay men that were doing it. In fact, they would have been essentially the minority. There were a lot of people of color, there were a lot of trans women and drag queens, and of course, the polyamorous bisexual woman, Brenda Howard, who was there that night.
Yes, and it was actually started out as a birthday party, is that correct?
That's correct. So Brenda Howard, it isn't terribly surprising that she would have been involved in Stonewall. Born in 1946, Brenda Howard was really involved in the late 60s with the anti-war movement. She actually lived on an anti-war commune, and she was growing increasingly frustrated with the very male-dominated anti-war movement, and that's how she got involved in feminism. So she was used to the riots, to police obstruction, things of that nature. So to me, looking at her history and looking at the history of our community, it's not at all surprising, as some others might think, that a bisexual woman like Brenda Howard would be so intimately involved with Stonewall. And because she was involved with it, and because she didn't want people to forget, she, among others, helped organize the very first gay pride marches on June 28, 1970. And she organized in New York City the Christopher Street Liberation Day Parade. Christopher Street was the street the Stonewall Inn was on. And after that, throughout the 70s, there were a great number of pride marches. They weren't actually called pride marches at the time. In New York City, for example, they were referred to as Gay Liberation Day. And she was actually one of the people, among several others, who agitated for it to be referred to as Pride. She's not only the mother of Pride in the sense that she helped organize the first march, but she is a major part of the reason that is referred to as Pride at all.
She worked for many, many years up until, like you said, up until her death in the LGBT community and in the bisexual community, worked very hard to promote and make it a better world for all of us.
Absolutely. Brenda Howard was tireless. There's a great memorial in Gay City News by Andy Hump who says that only a handful of activists in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movement were there at Stonewall and never stopped their advocacy work until the day they died. And he cites Brenda Howard as being one of those genuine articles. And she really was. Brenda Howard was unstoppable. It's hard to sort of condense her activism down into just a few soundbites because she genuinely did so much. Aside from starting Pride, which is a huge accomplishment in and of itself, she did a lot of other things for the queer community and for the bisexual community specifically. She joined, when it was first founded, the Gay Liberation Front, which was the very radical gay rights movement in the early 70s. It defended in 1972. And after that disbanded, she was also involved in the Gay Activists Alliance. And then she was involved in the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights after that. Now, you might notice that all of these organizations don't actually talk about bisexuality. They're just referred to as the Gay Liberation Front, the Gay Activists, Lesbian and Gay Rights, with the BT, the bisexual and transgender appellations, being left out of that. She was actually one of the major people to advocate for the inclusion of bisexuality within the acronym and within the names of various organizations. For example, she created the New York Area Bisexual Network. Often sitting here many thousands of miles away from you, recording on my computer while you're doing the same thing, I think about how much easier activism is for us than it would have been for Brenda Howard, who, in creating the New York Area Bisexual Network, actually ran it through a phone system. She had basically a recording. She was the voice for decades. She was the voice of a recording of the New York Area Bisexual Network that told people what events were going on, what was happening. She answered thousands of phone calls made to the network. And rather than today, we would just make a Facebook event. She had to put in the hours to actively reach out to people. And that, to me, is really amazing.
I think about that all the time, how much easier it is to reach each other now, how much the internet has actually started bringing the community together, how we can just put that out there and it's there for everyone right away. And it's hard to imagine how many tireless hours people put together, just putting in the pamphlets, getting out there at events, phone calls. It was a lot of work, and it's not easy like it is now, and we have to thank them for what they've done.
Absolutely. It was really difficult, especially because she didn't have the foundation that we have. Thanks to Brenda Howard, we have a bisexual community. I would argue that without people like Brenda Howard, we probably wouldn't have the strong community that we have today. Obviously, we all put a lot of work into building it and maintaining it, but I think she was really the main person that advocated for bi visibility and bi inclusion, and in her own life fought a great deal against biphobia, misogyny, sapophobia, and I really admire her for that. And she constantly strove toward both working for the community at large and working for bisexual people specifically, which really astounds me. Most people tend to have to pick one or the other. In addition to working for Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights and many umbrella organizations, she also created those smaller scale organizations just for bisexual people, like the first bisexual only chapter of Alcoholics Anonymous, the New York Area Bisexual Network, things along those lines. And I really admire her for that level and that scale of work.
I do, too. I appreciate everything she did. If you have any notes, there's now a Brenda Howard Award through PFLAG.
Yes. PFLAG now has a Brenda Howard Award, which goes to individuals who have worked for the bisexual community and for the LGBT community at large. There have been some famous recipients in recent years. I have a list. Let's see. Tom Limoncelli is a major one. He's from Binet, USA. And he actually has this great quote about Brenda Howard. The next time someone asks you why LGBT pride marches exist, or why Gay Pride Month's June, tell them a bisexual woman named Brenda Howard thought it should be.
Thank you. That is definitely wonderful.
There have been some great high-profile activists who also received the Brenda Howard Award, including someone very dear to my heart. Robin Oakes was one of the recent 2011 recipients of the Brenda Howard Award.
Yay!
So, yeah, yay! So through that award, her legacy really shines on. But despite that award being named after her, I don't think that Brenda Howard really has enough recognition. So, for example, when you asked me to do an episode of Brenda Howard, I actually didn't know who she was, which is just ridiculous because she is the mother of Pride. She's a major figure in bisexual activism and LGBT activism. And reading about her, I'm actually quite sad that I never got to know her. She died right around the time when I first came out. I started coming out in 2005, and I came out to all of my family and friends in 2006. And I've been coming out as a process, but I've been pretty much fully out ever since. So she died right around the time that I was coming out. I really find it too bad that I never got to know her. Reading all of the stories about her, especially looking at memorials that were written upon her death, there are some really great stories. I think probably my favorite one is when Brenda Howard, along with many others, were arrested at in Atlanta at the state capitol following an ACT UP protest. They were protesting the firing of a lesbian from the state attorney general's office. So in jail, she would read steamy novels aloud to the assembled girls and be as much of a pain in the rear as possible, so they'd not want to hold the prisoners any longer than necessary. So pretty soon after, she and several other of the activists got released just because the police didn't want to deal with them anymore. And I love this story, and I think it really encapsulates what Brenda Howard is about. She's an activist, but she had an incredible sense of humor. She really had an incredible sense of joy and life in her activism that I really admire.
We can all hope that we can do that well.
Absolutely, yeah.
I get very sad thinking that I never knew her either, especially I was quite alive when she was, but I was not involved at all with the LGBT community, so I am sad that I never got a chance to know her or meet her. And it makes me want to celebrate the people we still do have with us. So we're going to be focusing on some of the people that are still working as activists. Besides the past, we'll be doing the present, and hopefully we can encourage others to be a part of our future.
Absolutely. Speaking of the present, one thing that interests me as a historian is historiography, the history of history, the way people view our past and the way that current thinking informs the way that we view our past. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at an article that I sent you already, and it is included in our link section. It is the Queer Tea article, the Gay Pride issue. Mm-hmm. And throughout the article, which has a lot of great information, it uses the word homo, homosexual, and gay interchangeably with LGBT. And it talks about the gays who started it all, the homos who started it all. It is interesting and quite inaccurate because, as reluctantly noted in the article, it was, quote-unquote, a bisexual who was the mother of Pride, who began Pride and started it all. So I think it's interesting how, looking back, we should really consider the language that we use. We should remember to include people like Brenda Howard, bisexual women like Brenda Howard, and the many trans women who were at Stonewall, and stop talking about homo pride, gay pride, and rather about LGBT pride. And we should really stop erasing those contributions as we look back and as we look forward into the future.
Absolutely. I think that that is part of the problem we have with trans erasure and bi erasure, is that people aren't saying things correctly, and it wipes out a whole part of history. It's like rewriting it to accommodate for what you want, and it's inaccurate and it's damaging. So I'm glad we are doing this. I really am.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you so much for having me, too. I'm really happy to have the platform to talk about queer history, which is an issue really close to my heart. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to appearing here again. There are a lot of amazing bisexual figures in history that I'd like to take a look at. And if readers have any particular suggestions for a favorite historical figure that they would like me to research, feel free to email the Bicast or send me an email.
Awesome. And we will be providing all the links that we've talked about and then some more in our link section and with the actual recording. Eileen, I want to thank you so much for being here today again, like I said. Mm-hmm. I want to tell everyone, please remember, you're not wrong, you're not broken, you're not alone, you are a human being, and you're bisexual. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. Anything else you want to touch on today?
That I identify a lot with her personally because, you know, I'm obviously also bisexual, but I'm also polyamorous like Brenda Howard, and I'm also involved in the BDSM community, which Brenda Howard was. So.
Yeah, and all of those things people want to sweep under the rug, and I both in the bisexual community and outside of the bisexual community, and I encourage people not to do that. Because it is part of who we are, it is our history, and it's, like I say, you're not wrong and you're not broken. I mean, we love and do what we do because that's what our attraction is. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with that, and that should be celebrated too.
Right, absolutely. I think one of the major issues we face within the bisexual community is the issue of respectability politics, which is where we try and look respectable not just for each other, but for the outside community, because we have this perception that if we are too deviant from the norm, that will make the community look bad. And while I understand that impulse, I think that it erases a lot of the lived experiences of many bisexual people, including Brenda Howard, who, as I keep mentioning, was polyamorous, was involved in BDSM. And those were very important parts of her identity. And I think that when you try and engage in respectability politics and sweep those issues under the rug and say that, oh, bisexuals aren't polyamorous, bisexuals aren't kinky, well, some bisexuals are, and I think it's important to recognize that. And I think that Brenda Howard reminds us of that going forward.
It comes down to this for me. It's that in the gay community, in the lesbian community, in the trans community, there are polyamorous people, there are kinky people in the BDSM or whatever, and but by us trying to sweep that under the rug about our own community because it is part of our stereotype, it doesn't really do it doesn't do any good to do that because it is part of us.
It doesn't. Right, it is part of us. It's part of some of us, it's not part of others, but to say that, oh, we don't do that, you know, bisexuals don't do that, that kind of myth-busting ends up actually being very harmful to people like me and to people like Brenda Howe.
Exactly. You know, we have to embrace everyone. That's just the way it is. I have a thought about this, though. This disturbs me a lot, that people are trying to white picket fence everything. And I have a I suppose I'll pick that up later because we'll go there with Brenda. I won't get on my soapbox, okay?
Well, you know, soapboxes can be fun. I mean, I think you have a point there with white picket fencing, as you brilliantly put it. That's actually one of the major issues many people have with the way Pride is today, almost 10 years after Brenda Howard's death, versus what it was like when she first started it. It has its foundation in revolutionary activism. But now a lot of criticisms of modern-day Pride is it's very involved in capitalism. It's very involved in a sort of a sense of conformity that this is what all gay people look like, this is what gay people are. Whereas that wasn't really the original intention. So I think that's definitely something we should think about when we're discussing Pride during Pride Month.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about, is celebrating diversity. And to make it so much like a, well, let's go down and take pictures of the gay people. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know?
Yes, exactly.
Like making it a fun family outing instead of what it's really about. That bothers me too.
Right, definitely.
And I have never been, and I'm still debating whether I want to go. I really should, because I should be out there as part of my community.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to be attending my first Pride this year, and I'm very excited. So.
Yeah, I think I will too.
Is that possible? Yeah, definitely. We'll do it. We'll share experiences and report back.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome.
snip it back.